Now that you've found UBN Radio and discovered our quality talk shows, it's time to spread the word to friends, family, and the universe. 24 hours of music and talk radio without limits. That's why people keep coming back for more. That's UBNRadio.com.
This is One-on-One with Jasper Cole, Hollywood's bad guy, and so much more. Actor, talent manager, producer, and more. Now he's sitting down with today's top newsmakers from entertainment, politics, pop culture, and beyond. This is One-on-One with Jasper Cole.
All right. Howdy, everyone, and welcome to One-on-One with Jasper Cole. This is your host, Mr. Jasper Cole, coming to you live today from Sunset Gower Studios right here in Hollywood, California, and want to give a shout out to Mr. John Williams. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hey, Jasper, doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Another Wednesday, another show.
What's up, Jasper?
I got Dominic here now.
Oh, and shout out to my other producer, Dominic Friesen. Hey, buddy.
What's going on?
All is good. Are you guys hearing the song? Is there a song playing in my head, or are these medications I'm on?
I guess it's medications.
Voices in your head.
There's no music playing. You might have something in the background playing that you're hearing.
Oh, okay. Well, because I have a complete song playing. So,
can you sing it for us?
It's just instrumental. It's kind of nice. I have no idea what it is, but okay. Anyway,
It's Dominic's entry music. When he comes in, he brings the whole orchestra with him, apparently.
I think so. Well, anyway, everyone, welcome to the show. And please follow
us. How are you doing,
by
the way? How are you feeling?
Well, I just told JW that I was on pain pills. I fell asleep and just 15 minutes ago. So good luck, everybody. I'm not really sure what's going to happen here. I didn't even know we had.
Well, let's explain to our listeners that you were in for surgery a few weeks ago, right? And you are now in recovery and you're walking again. So you're still in a lot of pain. And
although
you're
managing your pain. To a different type of recovery shortly.
Oh, Lord, Thomas.
Yeah, because 2 weeks ago today, you swear to God you don't hear a song playing?
No, that must be in the background.
There's nothing playing,
Jennifer. There's nothing playing.
A background of what? whose background? Oh, my God.
As we digress.
This is like an old Katie Lang song or something playing. Okay. Anyway,
Dennis, help.
I hope everyone will try to go to Facebook, One-on-One with Jasper Cole, and Twitter is J. Cole.
That's One-on-One with J. Cole.
One-on-One
J. Cole. One-on-One. What is it?
One-on-One J. Cole.
Right. At One-on-One J. Cole.
You got
right.
It. It's on the screen, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you can go to my website, jaspercole.com. And today's show is being sponsored by three of our wonderful sponsors, Advance Auto Parts, Extended Stay America, and ZipRecruiter.com. Oh, the music stopped. Oh, no. There it goes again. Oh, my God.
This is going to be a fun show.
That's going to annoy the shit out of me. Oh, okay.
So as we move forward, talking about current events,
so anyway,
and hot topics.
But first of all, we're excited because today's guest, we have actor. Oh, hold on. Oh, wait, something's happening.
We have actor Scotty Dickert in studio. He's the star of one of Netflix's highly anticipated new films coming out later this summer called XOXO. He co-stars with Modern Family star Sarah Hyland, actually. And there's a lot of buzz around the film. We're very excited to have him in studio.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
But before
guy.
We do that, why don't we cover some of the hot topics? There's been a lot going on in the world for the past week.
But wait a second. It's more important to let you know the music has stopped.
Oh,
okay.
Good.
I can hear you now. But also go back to Scotty for a second.
Yeah.
Is he also from the South? Because I see he has an agent in Atlanta also.
Well, he's super friendly, so I wouldn't doubt he's not from the South because he's a very, very, very nice guy.
Oh, okay.
But we'll soon find out his history when he's in studio. Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's not there?
No, he is, but I thought we were going to talk some hot topics prior to bringing him in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
That was the last
okay.
Minute.
Go ahead.
Okay.
So, Jasper, what's going on in your world?
Have you had Norco or Valium? I'm on both.
Wow.
But you do have, but we do have to know that
I was going to say they could be a sponsor. We could get the pharmaceutical industry involved.
But a little side note, you do have a prescription for both pills.
Yes, yes, he does.
Allegedly, I guess. No, there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot going on. I know Dominic wants to talk politics because he is obsessed with Bernie Sanders.
Obsessed?
Oh.
I mean that in a bad way. I just meant...
Well, you know, we should note that we did win Oregon last night, and we had a virtual tie in Kentucky, which is interesting if you think about it, because you know Kentucky was a state that Hillary should have won.
Have they called it yet?
Well, it was a virtual tie.
So what happens when it's a tie?
It was just they're splitting the delegates. It depends how they split it, but they're splitting the delegates. But that was a state that Hillary should have won. You know, by a landslide.
And she did win 8 years ago, apparently. Correct. When she was up against Obama.
So, and then, of course, Oregon, we won fair and square. But he was here last night in Carson. It was a very...
Oh, yeah, I saw pictures of that.
Motivating and very inspiring appearance. Mm-hmm. And I think any of the burners that were there can attest to that. And actually, you know, and coming off the heels of what went down in Nevada last weekend, it was really, I think, what a lot of people just needed, just to renew their faith in our political system, if that's at all possible at this point.
Well, here's my concern. This is what I don't understand. Uh-huh. Because, you know, I would choose Bernie over Hillary, but I'm for, you know, either one. Uh-huh. But I'm concerned that a lot of the Bernie supporters really and truly are not going to vote for Hillary. And to me, that's just like suicide.
Jasper, I think it's too early to say that. I think in our hearts, we know there will be no reason to vote for Hillary because Bernie's going to get the nomination.
Okay, well, yeah, well.
I mean, there is no conversation to have at this point.
As long as you – I don't know what you took, but I've already – admitted to what I've taken, but let's just assume that he does not get the nomination. Do you think his supporters are going to vote for her?
No, we're all moving to Canada.
Oh well.
By the way, if one more celebrity says they're moving to Canada, there's not going to be anybody left to be on our show. Because every other celebrity,
well, they can Skype in.
Said they're moving. That's true. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay, but the truth is, to Bernie, barring the contested convention or whatever, I mean, she's only like, what, 80? Isn't she only like 80 delegates away from getting the nomination right now?
No. Okay, that's what mainstream media wants you to believe. They're counting the uncommitted superdelegate count in that number that they always put on the screens of TVs, and they shouldn't be including that number. Those are uncommitted, unconfirmed delegate votes. So you've been drinking the Kool-Aid, among other things.
Well, if the media's feeding it to them.
Well, I do think it. I mean, I don't think it looks good for her. I think it looks kind of. It's kind of sad for her that here at this point. What are we, almost June now? I mean, it's, you know, 3 weeks.
She's literally hobbling her way to the convention. You know, I mean, the crazy thing is that at this point, on her second time around, after all of the hundreds of millions that she's pilfered. At this point, she should be easy breezy, just, you know, sliding.
Well, that's what I mean. It is kind of, I mean, even to lose Portland, I mean, you know, Oregon, and then barely win Kentucky. At this point, she should just be like winning by a landslide these primaries. So I just don't quite. It's back to the Republican when there was going to be that whole contested Republican convention. Again, I think a lot of people don't understand, as I did not understand. You have to convince a shitload of these super delegates to change their votes.
Mm-hmm.
You mean, in other words, they have to decide that they think Bernie could beat Trump in the general. And that's what concerns me.
Yeah.
I don't know if he could or not.
But, you know, I think it's going to be a very interesting convention in Philadelphia. And we're going to have to kind of wait to see. I think the big turning point is going to be California. And he's really taking a lot of her lead here in California. So we'll see. And hopefully everyone who's listening to the show has registered to vote because it's very important. And as we saw in Kentucky, every single vote counts. So we all need to do our part.
If she loses California, seriously, that's really bad. I mean, if she loses California, then I really believe there's a good chance that that she's not going to get the nomination.
Well, what concerns me is the potential Supreme Court picks. And if you look in the media now, you can see that Donald Trump has been suggesting some names that will be nominees he would like to see for Supreme Court. And, you know, so that's the concern that I have is that, you know, because they're only in the president's only in office for, what, 8 years at the most, right? So the Supreme Court go on and on and on and on and on. So, yeah, that's
I'm telling you, he scares. I watched his Megyn Kelly interview, and for the very first time, I actually got to see. I thought, you know what? Don't pass out. He reminded me of early Bill Clinton, in the sense when Bill Clinton, who I didn't find physically particularly attractive on the surface, and we I sure as hell don't find Trump attractive, but there
it's
was
the
something
charm.
There. There's the same similar kind of charm.
Yeah.
There's some charming thing that he had last night with Megyn Kelly I'd never seen before. And then I started thinking, well, maybe this is why so many celebrities talk about the Donald they knew before the election that they always liked and they thought was really a cool guy.
He's a smooth talker. I mean, he's a smooth talker, but there's just too much in his past and his history and just even what he said of late, I think, to ignore. Don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, there could be nothing better than to have Bernie and Donald running, because you'd have basically the two kind of outsiders. Although I still don't know how Bernie's gotten by with the outsider thing. He's been.
And you've got to remember though that in every single poll, Bernie wins in a landslide when put on a ticket versus Trump. Hillary does not. And if Hillary gets the nomination, we're in serious, serious trouble, because the polls do not have her winning by a large margin. In some cases, she loses to Trump. Yes.
But don't you think in the same way, in a very similar way that this was not my opinion, so I don't want to sound racist when I say this. A lot of people went out and voted for Obama because he was going to be the first black president, and they really didn't know his policies at all. Don't you think there's still going to be a lot of that with Hillary, that there's still going to be a lot of people voting for her
just to be the first
just
woman
on the basis that she's a female president?
But I mean, I think that maybe it may have been the case, you know, maybe a couple months ago. But I think that there's too much that's coming out. There's been too much fraud and voter suppression. Mm-hmm. What happened in Nevada was so disgraceful, and it was outright fraud. And there's just no way around it. Just the chain of events that happened. And if anybody looks into it, it's like. That was a rigged stolen primary. There's no way else to, you know.
But do you remember the same? The exact same thing happened to Hillary in Florida 8 years ago. It was the Obama Hillary situation. They did the same similar thing, but you know, but it went against Hillary. And the one I can't stand is Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the president. ENC. I've always thought she was just mafia, ghetto, and shady. I don't know, something. I don't trust her because, I mean, and she's pro Hillary, so she's going to do anything she can to make sure Hillary gets as close to the nomination as possible. I think, you know. But it's interesting. My concern again is I just don't know if Bernie is too much of a socialist to a lot of people, and if he's going to be able to convince the voters of how he's going to pay for a lot of the stuff that he's promising. So that'll be the test, I think.
To see the follow through.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. So joining us in studio right now, Scotty just walked in.
Oh, great.
So
hey.
Come
hey,
in,
buddy.
Yeah. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Well, welcome
soaking
to
up
the
all the politics talk. So now we're going to move to entertainment.
Okay. Sounds good. How are the politics these days?
Do you want to go there?
Well, you tell us.
No. I'm glad I just walked in.
Yeah. I usually keep my mouth shut most.
Apparently there's an election or something happening.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something coming up.
Or some variety show or something.
Reality show.
It sounds like a bad Hallmark Hall of Fame TV movie at this point.
Yeah.
Well, welcome.
The parallels to Scandal, actually, when we talk about entertainment, look at the parallels to Scandal, and that show's written way in advance. And just look at what's going on. I don't know if you followed the season finale of Scandal, but really interesting parallels the last two episodes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, in terms of what's really happening in
politics? Yeah, it's really shocking.
Well,
actually.
Some of the characters are actually loosely based on the candidates and some of the other personalities in politics,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yeah, they have a Trump character, they have a Hillary character, and they have an Obama character.
Pretty spot on.
Yeah.
They film it right down the hall. So why don't you run on down there and see them? They're right.
They're upstairs. I know.
They're right upstairs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Shows I follow. So I've really gotten into Sense8 lately.
Oh, I love that show.
Oh my God,
it's a good show. Now they haven't come up with the second season though, right? You're still in the first season of it.
It's the first season's the only one that's out.
Okay,
But they're casting and starting to shoot the second season.
Oh,
so.
Cool.
Is that on Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay. I can see you on
that. Taking over the world, man.
Yeah.
And what is it about?
So it's basically I feel like nowadays there's so much content and material, and it's kind of difficult to come up with something really original. And this show is basically like these eight people who are interconnected, mm-hmm. and they for instance, if somebody's in trouble, they can ask for help from one of these other people that they have this crazy connection with, and all of a sudden they're in their body fighting for them.
Yeah, they're all networked together
yeah. And it's such a cool concept.
It really is.
But other than that, I got really into the People versus OJ Simpson.
Great show. Oh, me too. Oh my God. Yeah.
Such a cool show. I remember, I was so young, mm-hmm. but it's crazy how much watching the show just triggers uh-huh. those memories, and how much of it I actually mm-hmm. Was still there.
Where were you when the Bronco chase happened?
The Bronco chase? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I was home. I was really young, so I just got home from school in second grade. So.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Well it was a weekend. It was a weekend because it was during the basketball playoffs.
Okay. Yeah. Then I but I was just coming home from school because I was so I cared so much about my schooling.
Oh, okay.
So I was there on a weekend just studying.
No.
Summer
it's
school.
Interesting to talk to someone your age, because as opposed to someone who was older, for me, for instance, I was doing the play A Few Good Men, and it was the opening night in Hermosa Beach,
nice.
California. And you know how they keep holding the curtain because there was nobody there. So we kept waiting and waiting, and there were 10 people in the audience, and we couldn't figure out. Long story short, what had happened was they had shut down the 405 because that's when the Bronco chase was happening.
Oh my God, man. So you didn't make it to your play? Or
no,
did
well,
you?
We did.
He was there. He just had no one there to watch it.
We ended up doing opening night to literally our family and friends. Wow. There were 10 people.
Right.
And there was no cell phones, and mm-hmm. you had to wait to find out, afterwards. But no, my question is, it's interesting. So being the age you were when you were remembering that live, mm-hmm. how was it when you were watching the recent series? Mm-hmm. That must have been...
It was
in some ways, I think, even better, because you probably didn't have as vivid a memory of it, right?
Yeah, exactly. But like I was kind of saying, it's crazy how much it triggers the memory. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like when somebody's like, "What's your first memory?" And granted, I was older than that at the time, you know, that the trial was actually happening. But it's kind of hard to, for me to be like, "Oh, I know what my first memory was." I mean, I have some ideas of what they could be, but then, but watching that show was almost kind of like that kind of feel, like, "Oh man, I can't believe that, like, these details. I remember these details." You know, like, everything from the glove to even some of, like, the lines that were in there. You know what I mean? That, because it was so spot on, and it's cool how, you know, the after shows kind of, everybody who was involved say how accurate it was.
Where are you? Where did you grow up? Where are you from? Originally?
I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I noticed you have an agent in Atlanta, right? You were with the People Store also?
Uh-huh.
Because I'm from... Atlanta. I have an agent in, well, it seems like, well, hell, everybody has an agent now in Atlanta because it's like the third largest, you know.
Yeah, man, it's becoming like an epicenter for acting. Yeah.
Are you going on tape a lot for stuff back in Georgia and that North Carolina, that whole area?
I am. It's been awesome. I mean, they've been incredible. I signed with them in November, and some of the stuff they're sending me out for, and you know, that I've been put on a veil a couple times so far. But it's, you know, it's crazy the size of the roles and the projects they're getting me in for. It's pretty awesome. I couldn't be happier with them. So Atlanta's a place to be.
Well, it's funny because 30 years ago, of course, when I left, there was nothing happening there. You know, you move here now and it's like, friends of mine are actually, you know, there was a time when they were like guest star roles, series roles, all that was still being cast here, but for instance, there's a series they're doing there right now that at least seven of the series regulars, you had to be local hires in Atlanta.
Yeah,
so
totally.
it's kind of completely turned the other direction, which is
great. I mean, and honestly, you know, it doesn't hurt to have a buddy or somebody you know there to give an address and to still, you know, have the potential to be a local hire, because in some for some, even some of the bigger roles, they just, you know, it's saving them money. So, you know.
Well, you're right. It is. They're not having to put actors up and per diem and fly them there and all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So when did the acting bug hit for you? Was it as a kid?
Yeah.
Did it come later, or, you know?
I mean, I started acting when I was young in plays and, like, in grade school and stuff. And then when I started getting closer to high school, I played sports, and I ended up, you know, playing, I got a scholarship for tennis in college and played pro a little bit. So when I got to high school, I was kind of like, well, I can be the cool kid or I can do the plays and stuff. So I did a little bit, I did some plays, but I kind of gravitated more to sports. And then in college, I started doing short films and student films and getting back into it and getting more on camera. And then I decided to move out to LA, and I'd planned it for a while, but I do music too. And my band broke up. So about a week after we broke up, I was like, all right, mom, dad, I'm moving to California. Is that cool? So I made the move, and I've been here for about 6 years now, and it's been amazing and quite the ride.
Yeah, I always say to people, because I moved here like at 23, looking back, I think you have to do shit like that when you're that age. I so admire people who do it like at, you know, 50, because, I mean, there's something about when you're in your 20s, you're just fearless, and you don't know what the game, you really don't know the game, you don't know what the odds are, you know, we just sort of like go, fuck it, we're going to California.
Totally, and I think that's definitely like an actor mentality, is like just creative artists are like, oh, I'm totally going to make it. You know what I mean? Like, that's just kind of in people's head, and then you get here and you realize how much work it takes, and you realize that you have to have patience, and the people who have the patience, a lot of good things happen.
But what you said, so true. I always say that young actors now, if you almost don't have that crazy mentality of course I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
I always say to people, if you don't have that, then please don't come do it, because it's you know what I mean?
Totally.
You almost have to have that kind of mentality, or go have a really nice life somewhere, because it's lots of peaks and valleys.
Absolutely.
You know,
and you have to know, like know or learn yourself, and I think a lot of people learn what they can take and what they can't take, and you have to have a thick skin and be able to take rejection and wait for somebody to give you a chance, you know, and then once it happens, it makes it worth it.
Well, so after you, what was your, I mean, because I always say to people, enjoy the journey, because we're always like trying to quote make it, you know, we're always working so hard, and we look back and we forget, oh well, I was kind of making it and didn't realize it at the time. But what was your first sort of I guess TV or film
role? I had you know how you have all the, everybody's got a story like what could have been. So
right, exactly.
Like
yes.
Shortly after I moved out here, I got on an HBO show directed by Alan Ball, and you know, True Blood, 6 Feet Under, the creator,
sure.
American Beauty, the writer of American Beauty, and he's just kind of a legend. And you know, I was fresh out here, and I had a lot of confidence, but I get on set, and I was just like the happiest person alive that day because I was on set of an HBO show. And mm-hmm. I'm sitting there, and I had like over a 2-hour break, and I'm just kind of sitting in the same chair I was shooting my scene in. And a producer comes up to me and is like, "So, Scotty, Ellen really likes you. We're making you a recurring character." And I was just like, "Oh, thanks. Awesome. Sounds good." And then I get in the van, and like everybody on set had heard about it, and the driver was like, "Dude, this doesn't happen to people. You're lucky." But the story that could have been that kind of ended up on the chopping block. It didn't get picked up. So, but that was the first,
you
know,
see,
thing for me.
But that's the beauty of that. I always call it, not in a bad way when I say beginner's luck, but there is something that's really nice. It's something that I actually miss now that I've been doing it for so long. There's something nice about those beginning times when you don't really know what the rules are. So you don't know.
Definitely.
Oh, this is a big deal or it's not a big deal, but just the fact that you worked with Alan, first of all, but then the fact you learned right away that things get, you know, things don't always go, things get cut, but the main point is enjoying the actual experience of doing it.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's just like any other job. A resume says, you know, it helps you out a lot. And, you know, once you start building credits and people know that you are, you know, well-versed and had opportunities and been in front of the camera and worked with, you know, credible people, then you're going to get more opportunities. And that only helped me. So as much as it sucked getting that call, which was actually from Alan, which was cool.
right, exactly.
He called me like 4 days before Christmas and is like, "I hate to be the bearer of bad news during the holiday season."
Wow, yeah.
I was like, "No, Alan, no." So, yeah.
Well, but it sounds like you knew kind of early on also what your type was, which is also really important.
It's funny because it's for me starting out, it was I knew that I could play a hippie. You know what I mean? But I didn't know what else I would get. And I was trying when I first moved out here to like find a class where, you know, somebody who's been in this business for 30 years can say, "This is your type. This is your type. This is what you're going to go in for." And I didn't, you know, go to anything like that. I think for me it was like once I started getting, you know, more legit agents and management that I just kind of figured it out with what I'm being submitted for, what I'm going in for, and what I'm booking.
You look like very versatile, though. I could see you in many different roles.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I mean, I look a lot different with my hair back.
Yeah, so. Exactly. I'm looking through these pictures. And I'm like, wow, you look very versatile. So.
Thank you.
But it's such a key thing, and I talk about this all the time. I feel like I guess really you don't ever really waste any time, but I don't know. I felt like for many years, like a lot of actors, well, we know internally we can play all kinds of stuff, but the show business part of show business is locking in and realizing that, you know, when it comes to TV and film, you do want to get typecast in a strange kind of way. Mm. You know, you want the casting people to know you in a certain way, so they put you on that list.
Definitely.
Oh, we need, oh, who plays a really kind of a fun hippie guy? Let's call Scotty.
Mm-hmm. It definitely puts like that kind of thing, like having a casting director think of me that way. I'm in their head, you know, and if something comes up for that, I'm in. So,
right.
I totally hear you there. It definitely, that makes a lot of sense.
And then I always say that's what we do. We have theater. Theater is there for us to actually act.
Yeah.
I mean, theater's there where we actually get to, you know, stretch and carry a performance. And
yeah.
I don't know about you. I mean, there's nothing greater than working in TV and film, but the medium itself, for me, you know, you're shooting out a sequence. You really don't know until you go see the finished product what the hell it's going to look like.
Absolutely.
Or if you're even going to be in it still. But, you know, it's at least with theater time, you know, the curtain opens and you step on stage. It's your medium and you're sort of driving it as you go along. But having said that, there's still for me no greater feeling than being on a set.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
I still get excited, and I used to say, Jasper, the day you don't get excited anymore, it's when you need to stop.
Yeah,
because I get excited still just driving there, you know, going to the set.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I was excited today. I had an ADR session for the Netflix movie I'm doing, and just like seeing, you know, I became some projects you become like a family with the people working mm-hmm. on it. And like just seeing the director and some of the other actors today, just like walking in the hall, getting ready to do ADR, you know, I leave there just like on a high, you know, mm-hmm. There's nothing like it. And I get how, you know, people who are artists say you get these feelings when you're working that it's, you know, it's hard to come down from those. And,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and then when you, you know, as an actor, you're going to have up times and down times. And when you're having those downtimes, it sucks because you get so addicted to being, you know, on set and in that environment where with all these creative, amazing people.
So tell us a little bit about XOXO, the project that you just mentioned that you had ADR for.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it comes out late this summer from Netflix, correct?
Yeah, so it's coming out in August. That's the tentative release. It might be a little bit earlier than that, fingers crossed. So it's been really cool. It's this EDM film, and I'm just amazed that there's not been more EDM films made because mm-hmm. EDM has taken over the music world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. and as a musician, I've been to...
And EDM, just for people who maybe listening not know, is electronic dance music.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. So like Electronic Daisy Carnival in Las Vegas and, you know, Beyond Wonderland, all those types of festivals. And just such an amazing world, you know, mm-hmm. and I've been really into that for years. And, you know, me and my brother always go to festivals together, and it's always such a good time. So when I auditioned for this movie, I just had this this need for it, you know, like every once in a while you'll get this audition that you just like, you know, you don't just prep for an audition, you prep like you're gonna film. And that was definitely
right.
Like that.
That's a good point. That's a great point, actually.
Yeah, and it also depends on how much time you have. But yeah. So anyway, mm-hmm. to get back to your question, Dom. So you know, the movie is about this EDM artist, a young kid who gets some success online, and then he all of a sudden gets this opportunity to play the biggest EDM festival in the world, and it's basically like his journey to getting from his like little hometown, getting to the festival, all the crazy experiences that happen throughout it. And you know, I can't say a lot about my character, honestly, but I have a really, I'm so lucky to you know, to have the chance to play this character, because I'm kind of a road hard spreader of love and life, and it's just a really fun character to play, and I think a lot of people are gonna dig it, so I'm excited for that.
So the EDM world in general has been somewhat controversial. A lot of people either love it or hate it, or
yeah.
the genre of music. What are some of the controversial issues that the film explores? Whether it has to do with drug use or some of the other...
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, and it's actually made it very, you know, not easy to film mm-hmm. because there's been a lot of issues with, you know, the state of California and trying to shut down EDM festivals.
Mm-hmm.
And
the film itself is actually shooting at actual festivals that are going on, correct?
Yeah, we've been shooting for close to a year at all different festivals.
Which is incredible when you think about it. So what are, in the storyline, what are some of those different issues that you guys explore?
I mean, at any, like, EDM festival, there's going to be people, you know, doing smart things and stupid things. So that's, you know, mm-hmm. there's going to be some of that in the film, but it's definitely not meant to focus on that. You know, mm-hmm. it's meant to focus on the journey and
the positive side.
Yeah, the positive side. And, you know, like I was kind of saying, it's amazing to me how there's barely been any EDM films made. There's mm-hmm. been like two others, and you know, there's that one with Zac Efron, but that was more of a dark side.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And to me, when I read the script, I was just really happy to see that the writer's Dylan Meyer. I was really happy, and Chris Louie, and I was just really happy to see that, you know, people are actually showing the true side of like the beauty of these festivals. And yes, it is terrible that people, you know, abuse drugs and abuse their bodies, but there's also, it ruins it for everybody, you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. you know, trying to close down something, I was talking to somebody at the last festival we shot at, and he was like, hey man, this is just so cool that you guys are making a movie about this. He's like, when I come to a festival, an EDM festival, it's like I fit in. You know, he's like, I don't have to be the cool kid. I didn't have to grow up being the cool kid. I can just be me, mm-hmm. and everybody accepts me. And I think that is a huge part of it, Dom. Is that, you know, that is something so big in this movie, is that everybody's accepted, and it's just like, it's Plur, man. It's peace, love, and
respect. There's a reason why it was birthed out of the underground scene. You know, really was underground, and that's where people just felt, as you're saying, that they could be themselves, or they had an identity.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Well, and also EDM has sort of kind of made a resurgence. Like, I have a neighbor here who's in his late 40s, and he's been part of this movement probably for off and on for 20 something years. Wow. And he was just recently at a festival in North Carolina, but he talks about how for certain generations they've called it sort of the Woodstock of mm-hmm. you know, of one generation.
Yeah.
Well, I would say that's kind of what EDC is.
That's how I feel, yeah. Kind of I wasn't at Woodstock, but I wish.
Well, very similar, just I think in a lot of it has a lot of the same elements that Woodstock brought to that generation.
I mean
the first
Unity through music, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The first EDC I went to was just like, I think my jaw was on the ground the whole time. You know, it was like 4 or 5 years ago, and since then I just can't stop going to festivals. Like, it's mm-hmm. just a crazy experience, and it just kind of rejuvenates you, you know.
And what is it, because I think for most people that are part of the EDM scene, it's a personal experience for each person. Everyone's experience is unique. What is your experience that you get out of it when you go to festivals?
I'd say rejuvenation. Like, mm-hmm. the first one I went to, I had like a really shitty year and a half, and that was literally what kind of like brought me back to like being really happy again. Mm. And so for me, it's just like beauty through the
it's
art.
Really it's a lot of a spiritual journey, right? It's a lot with your own personal growth and spirituality that's mixed in with, well, here's the dichotomy, and maybe this is what you touch on in the movie. Mm-hmm. For me, as someone sort of on the outside, there's that dichotomy of sort of like the spirituality, the self-awareness and all that combined with, in some people's opinion, excessive drugs, excessive sex, you know what I mean? Like, there's that dichotomy, and maybe that's where sometimes people get the wrong connotation about what actually goes on at the festivals.
Definitely. I mean, that...
But I think, I just want to interject here, I think that the underground scene has also evolved, because those stereotypes may have been true a few years ago, but I think there's been an evolution. Maybe you can...
Yeah, there's definitely been an evolution, and I mean, just from even a security standpoint, mm-hmm. is, you know, mm-hmm. they take lives so, you know, they take them obviously very seriously, and for, I think, a long time, it was, you know, everybody, every man for themselves, every woman for themselves, and go to this festival, do what right. you want. But, you know, it's become like, there's become so much awareness around it. Mm-hmm. And there's even at festivals, like, you know, like tents you can go to get help. And if, you know, where you're
like
not going to
like
get
the cool down mm-hmm. tents. And,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, or mm-hmm. like, where you know, you're not going to get in trouble. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And so, yeah. And every, you know, everybody has, some people go there and do whatever they want to do on a weekend. Some people go there and, you know, just want to enjoy the music. And that's what I mean, is when I said, like, you know, some people ruin it for everybody. I'm kind of a believer that, you know, you have to be responsible for yourself.
Absolutely.
And I get it, because it's, I get that there's a lot of younger people that that bad things have happened to, but you know, then maybe mom and dad shouldn't let you go.
but Scotty, I mean, anywhere you go, whether it's just a nightclub, whether it's, you know, a concert, anywhere you go, there's going to be those few bad apples that are going to ruin for anybody.
Yeah.
Or those few people that are going to do things in excess. So I don't think it's only in the EDM scene. And I think that that's where it's gotten kind of a bad rap.
Agreed. Yeah.
It's kind of like the Coachella festival in a whole different way, but in the sense that Coachella has just continued to grow every year, but you have that same controversy. You have the true, you know, Coachella people that are just here for the music and die hard about which bands are playing.
Are they really there for the music?
yeah, you know what I mean? But then what's become on the flip side of that are the ones who are here just for the whole other social scene, and they really, if you ask them, they couldn't tell you who was playing, you know. Yeah. Or
well, Jasper, just quick question, because I know that you are enjoying some pills right now. Are you in the mood for an EDM festival this weekend or what?
No, I mean, I'm not kidding you. My neighbor right across the street, he's if he's not listening to this, he's probably going to run over here afterwards, because he has tried to, like, when I say educate me on EDM, and he's not even that much younger than me, but he is so into the EDM movement that I know he's just dying right now that this is what we're talking about, because he, like I said, he goes to all the
is he a promoter, or is he DJs
spent, or? He DJs,
what
you
is
know,
his name also, this curve just out him right now
say.
DJ Spin.
Well, no Peter Morley is his name, but he travels around like I said, the last one was a big like event in North Carolina that they went to. I mean, he was literally living out, I mean, like outside in the woods. Like,
whoa,
you know,
that's cool.
Camping, yeah.
Like literally just on weekends, or he's just, you know, living that camping
lifestyle?
Well,
no, it was a whole week. It was a whole week experience. And I kept saying, but you went to the hotel at night, right? And he's like, no, Jasper, no, the hotel was... We were outside, and I said, "You've already lost me at that point."
That sounds like Burning Man or something.
The hotel was $5 a night because I was splitting with four people.
That was my other thing is about Burning Man too. How do you compare? How does that compare to EDM?
The music's different, isn't it? I mean, Burning Man isn't
totally.
I haven't been to Burning Man.
Burning Man's more tribal kind of thing, I think. But
I think Burning Man is more dirty. But.
Yeah. And EDM is more centered around the electronic music, obviously, right? It's in the lights and the stage spectacle, the props and all that, right?
From what I've heard of Burning Man is it's more like primitive. You
know
what I mean?
So Jasper, we pulled up Peter Morley, and he's the old school DJ in the desert, is what he goes by.
There you go.
Well, shout out to Peter Morley, the old school DJ in the desert.
Well, he will certainly love that. Well, that's amazing. Well, okay. So my question to Scotty then about XOXO, is this something that could also become a series, or is it strictly a movie? Because, you know, Netflix, first of all, Netflix is amazing.
Yeah.
They're doing the good stuff. But does it have any kind of, does it lend itself at all to possibly being a series?
I mean, as far as I know, it's, you know, meant to be a film.
Right.
But I could absolutely see, going back to my disbelief, I can't believe there's not a series about festivals, about EDM. Like, it's just taken over the world, and as a musician, I've been to panels and stuff, with some of, like, the owners of the biggest festivals all over the place, and they all, like, they'll be like, what do we do about EDM music? Like, we're losing fans, we're losing people coming to our festival, and the answer is, start bringing in EDM artists.
So the
film could, no question, become a really awesome series.
Well, I mean, it's in a wholly, totally different vein. It's like the series Vinyl that I think, just got renewed, right? That Scorsese is doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not the genre at all, but I could see a series about EDM looking similar in tone to that, in terms of that kind of
like that kind
genre
of gritty
of a gritty like and sort of in your face and the different characters, but I actually haven't seen Vinyl, so I'm just what I've seen in terms of the trailers and stuff like that.
Right, I've seen the first two episodes and it's pretty awesome. It's a very cool show.
Yeah,
and just like you're saying, kind of like that gritty, you know, stylistic approach is mm-hmm. is just a very cool feel. It gives you that like old school feel.
Cool. Now, do you find with your look, you know, with the type of stuff you're going, do you go in for a lot of comedies or do you tend to go in for more drama?
It's actually like half and half. It really is.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've been fortunate to, you know, have people see me as versatile, because
right,
like even if I'll audition for something with my hair down, like I might get mm-hmm. on set and they'll be like, let's see it back, and then kind of reinvent the character, or vice versa, you know. It's always different. And even like meeting with industry people, meeting with agents, whatever, like I might walk into a room and an agent might say, you know, we think you should cut your hair, and then I'll literally mm-hmm. just put my hair back, and then like, oh, you look completely different. Like, maybe we won't cut it, you know? So, I mean, eventually.
And I always say to actors, my advice too is the very thing that a lot of agents and managers want you to change about yourself, 9 out of 10 times becomes the one thing that makes you unique or gives you that one thing that's going to end up getting you the job over somebody else anyway. So, half the time, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Yeah, but, maybe sometimes they just don't know what to do with you. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Now, I see you worked on Workaholics. That's a great show.
Oh,
also,
awesome show. Yeah. Really cool. Super fun. I was on set for 3 days with all the guys, and I got to work with Alexander Daddario too. So it was a really cool experience.
It's kind of like being in a frat house.
Yeah, I mean, those dudes, like, they moved out here and all lived together in the same house they shoot in, and they that was like 7 years ago, you know, and now their buddy rents out the house, and they still film in it, and it's just the coolest thing, because it's literally like what I did when I moved out here, except we didn't write a great television show, so, yeah, so they killed it, crushed it.
For everyone just joining, tuning in, we're talking to, obviously, Scotty Dickert, actor, musician extraordinaire. Now, where can people find you on social media so they can stalk you and, you know?
Oh, yeah, totally. You can, you know, find me. I've been working the Instagram lately pretty hard. And that's, my handle is just Scotty Dickert, Scotty Dickert. And Scotty Dickert on Twitter, and Facebook is facebook.com/ScottyDickertActor.
And you have your website.
And yeah, you can hit up ScottyDickert.com. Mm-hmm. Plug that one.
And to tell us a little bit about your music as well, while we're
totally.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So I'm you know, I've done when I moved out here, I was in several bands. I did a lot of 80s cover bands, which got old quickly. and you know, the goal was to obviously get into my own thing and write my own music. I ended up with a band that I started called Reasons B. And, you know, we've toured a lot for about 3 years. And as my acting career has developed, the music's had to take a back seat. You know, acting is the mm-hmm. priority one. So we're getting more into like TV and film placement music and writing for other artists, but we're also still putting out our own music and just having, you know, kind of looking at all different ways to put the music out. So we're in the studio right now with producer Michael Blue. Awesome dude. He's, you know, been nominated for a couple Grammys, so we're really lucky to be working with him. So we've been doing a hard push lately.
Great. So you do sing and play guitar?
I'm not going to play guitar, you know, as well as these pros out here in LA. So
okay.
I leave that to them, and yeah, I'm a singer and songwriter. Cool.
Great.
So Yeah.
Yeah, I saw some pictures of you playing guitar I have up on the screen. So
oh, nice.
I was curious.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody in my band went to music school but me, so.
Oh.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Go ahead, Jasper.
But you find no, it's just interesting. You find this a lot. The acting and the musicians tend to go hand in hand, mm-hmm. you know, together.
Yeah. The multi-hyphenates.
Yeah, I find when I moved
well,
out.
Yeah, well,
go ahead, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just saying when I moved out.
Well,
to...
I was saying you kind of learn. I mean, you've learned at a young age. You kind of have to be a hyphenate now in this business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in like music wise, when I moved out here, I was like, oh man, I'm gonna be trying to like get all these people from MI and Berkeley to play music with me. I'm like, I didn't go to school for it. But it's crazy how much people appreciate good writing, you know, and are just like, you know, welcome. So that was kind of cool.
Well, Jasper, I think our hour is about over. So thank you.
I know. I can't believe it, right?
For joining us from Palm Springs.
Palm Springs. Nice.
From your hospital bed or your...
I know. I had back. I literally did. They're making jokes. I had back surgery 2 weeks ago today, would have definitely been there in the studio. So I appreciate you making the effort to come in, and I hope mm-hmm. someday, and maybe we can work together. But congrats on everything.
Thank
and
you so
the
much.
Great work, and everyone, you know, check out the website, follow you on Instagram, all the social. Media outlets, and best of luck to you, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Jasper, and good luck with the back, man. I hope you feel good.
It's life-changing surgery. Well, he's doing really well now, right? You're doing way better.
Yeah, no, it's amazing what they can do now these days, and with not that much recovery time, considering.
Yeah, you're walking around, right?
I'm walking like 2 to 3 miles a day, so yeah. I should
amazing.
Be back
That's
up and ready to
awesome.
Go. So,
we'll see you back
right, guys,
next week, right?
Dominic, JW, thank you so much. I want to give a shout out to WROM in Detroit, all of our listeners listening to us there, Detroit's number one station. And we will see you next week, same time, same place. Everyone, peace out. Take care.